appreciate the presence of the Lord, and just enjoyed that good season of prayer tonight, and as well as the testimonies this evening. And it's just good to be saved. Amen. Amen. Good to be in the house of God. And you think about all, out of all the people in the world, God let you hear the gospel and respond to it and receive the Son of God and be part of the greatest organism or organization or whatever you want to call it, the Church of the Living God tonight. Amen. Amen. And we are blessed tonight, and we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I think if we would get a whole lot more excited and more determined about our position in Christ, our circumstances surrounding us wouldn't bother us so much. And boy, sometimes the answer to the disillusion that we face in life is just good doctrine. Amen. And knowing what we believe and believing this book, and the Lord will help you with that tonight. Amen. I want to go to Nehemiah again. We were in Nehemiah a couple of weeks ago, and just want to try to be a blessing and a help to you this evening. And on these Wednesday nights, I'm not doing like a series or anything like that, but I've just kind of been in Nehemiah some. And last time we were in Nehemiah, we were in chapter number 1, but I want to go to Nehemiah chapter number 3. And kind of give you an isolated thought there in the book of Nehemiah tonight. Nehemiah chapter number 3. And we're going to read just a couple of verses here tonight and use them kind of as a launching point and look at a selection of verses within the chapter and give you the thought that the Lord has laid upon our heart tonight. Amen. Nehemiah chapter number 3. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 1 tonight. The Bible says, "Then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren the priest, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even under the tower of Mia. They sanctified it under the tower of Hananel. Next unto him builded the men of Jericho, and next to them builded Zachar the son of Zimri. But the fish gate did the sons of Hanassah build, who also laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof tonight." And I want you to look with me, if you will, in verse number 10. And there's a phrase in verse number 10 that is repeated throughout the chapter in some verses. And this is really what we want to deal with tonight. The Bible said in verse number 10, "And next unto them repaired Jedaiah, the son of Haremath, even over against his house." Even over against his house. We're going to deal with that phrase in the text here shortly tonight. But let's pray and ask the Lord to help us this evening. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your presence tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace, Lord, that's so evident in our life. I'm glad tonight, Lord, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And Lord, we're thankful tonight, Lord, for the knowledge that we have. Somebody mentioned tonight that if we just know. And God just said tonight that these things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe upon the name of the only begotten Son of God tonight. And Lord, tonight with full assurance, I'm so glad that I know that you are my Savior. And Lord, as they said in the Song of Solomon, "I am my beloved's and he is mine." And Lord, what a joy it is to be saved. What a joy it is to be able to come on a Wednesday night, gather with like-minded believers, gather around the Word of God, the same book, the same Spirit, the same Savior tonight, part of the same body. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless us. Lord, that you would help us tonight. Father, that you would draw us closer to yourself. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would help us in our walk with you, Lord, practically tonight. And Lord, may we look to you and draw strength from your Word tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. As we begin in Nehemiah chapter number 3, the verses before us in verse number 1, the writer begins with a tour all the way around the wall, beginning in verse number 1, and then of course ending at the end of the chapter there in verse number 32. We find that they begin in verse number 1 with the building of the sheep gate. And then in verse number 32, we end back at the sheep gate. And so it's like chapter number 3 takes us on a survey. It takes us from the viewpoint of going all the way around the wall. So they begin at the sheep gate and they end at the sheep gate. Now the sheep gate tonight, just like all of the other gates here, in Nehemiah, in the Word of God, they have a representation. There is some teaching that we can draw out of them tonight. But the sheep gate represents our Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice on the cross. And I'm thankful tonight that the church began and will continue all through eternity by the glory of the cross. Amen. I'm glad for what the songwriter said. I have come by the way of the cross. I didn't come by the way of the baptistry. I didn't come by the way of communion. I didn't come by the way of church membership, but I'm thankful tonight that I came to God through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the only way we can come tonight. Amen. But that the church began and continues through eternity by the glory of the cross and the glory of the Son of God. And by way of introduction tonight, I want you to notice, number one, of course, this book is about the work of God and their labor there rebuilding the wall there in Jerusalem. But I want you to consider this, the foundation of the work tonight. Amen. The foundation of the work. They began there with the sheep gate. They began in the right place tonight. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid in Jesus Christ tonight." Amen. I'm glad, thank God, that Jesus Christ, He is the chief cornerstone tonight. Amen. He is the head of the body, which is the church tonight. I'm glad that God has exalted the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and He's given Him the preeminence tonight. Well, I was watching a preaching clip today and I think myself happy on that. He said that Christ is the first fruits of them that slept. He is the first begotten of the dead. Amen. He was talking about Lazarus and how Lazarus was resurrected, and that may be so, but he wasn't resurrected like unto the Son of God. Lazarus got up and he came out and they took those grave clothes off of him. But there was a day and an hour for old Lazarus when they had to have a second funeral for that old boy. But I'm glad tonight that Jesus died, and He died once and He's alive forevermore. And Jesus Christ is the foundation. He's who He is, what we're about tonight. Amen. You take Christ away and we're just a group of people. You take Christ away and this is just another building. You take Christ out of this book and just it's just another ancient manuscript. But I'm glad Jesus is what made the difference in our life. And though we may come from different walks of life, of a common denominator is the Lord Jesus Christ. He changed my life and He changed your life. And I'm glad we've come here tonight not to see each other, not to stare at each other, but to give Him the glory and make much of the Son of God tonight. Amen. We see the foundation of the work. But then secondly, I see the faithfulness of the work. As we move through the chapter, what we find is we find every man doing his part. Every man is laboring together. We don't find any complaints. We don't find any murmuring or backbiting tonight. But we find men and brethren dwelling together in unity around the work of God. I remember David said in Psalms 133, he said, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." You know, David was writing out of experience. He knew what it was to come there, the battle before Goliath, and his eldest brother, "Look and see, I know the naughtiness of your heart. I know why you came." Oh, but old David said, "Is there not a cause? This uncircumcised Philistine has defied the name of our God." And thank God he didn't come with sword or spear or shield, but he came in the name of the Lord tonight. Amen. David knew what it was to take a kingdom that was in shambles after the disappointment of following after Saul, and his brethren came there and they anointed him king, and David, by the leadership of God, brought the kingdom back together. Amen. There was no envy. There was no jealousy. There was no complaining. Can I say tonight that you and I ought to walk in unity together? And I believe our church does. But we ought to keep our eyes on the prize tonight. And we ought to realize that we are marching to Zion together. And Jesus has made a difference in our life. And we're all headed to the same heaven. We're all headed to the same finish line. And we'll all be able to bask together in the same glory of the same Savior, as one nation, as one kindred, as one people tonight. And we'll be able to sing the song of the redeemed, of a song that the angels cannot sing. Oh, what an encouragement that is to help us to remain faithful in the work of God tonight. Amen. He's done so much for us. May we ever labor for Him until we reach heaven's bright shore. We see the foundation of the work, the faithfulness of the work. But then I want you to consider this, the fortification of the work. What these men were doing tonight is they had come with one purpose and one mission in mind, and that was to rebuild a wall that had been broken down. Rebuild a wall that had been destroyed by the enemy tonight. And as we read in verse number 10, there is a phrase in verse number 10 that is repeated a few times in the chapter. And that's where we want to draw our thought from tonight. Amen. It's in verse number 10. The Bible says, "And next unto them repaired Jediah the son of Haremath, even over against his house." Amen. Even over against his house. What this verse tells us tonight is there upon the wall of Jerusalem, there were certain individuals that had built their house literally upon that wall there. And as they built, they fortified the wall over against their house. Jerusalem was a place of past failures. Jerusalem was a place that had been besieged, and the people had been taken away to captivity. You fast forward to the time of Christ and His disciples. Those disciples, as they followed Jesus by faith, Jesus taught them lessons over and over concerning their failure tonight. And by the time we went to the cross, and by the time the end of the ministry of Christ, earthly speaking, was, we find that those disciples were scattered. Their lives had been touched by failure, and their lives had been touched by denials tonight. Amen. There must be victory in the place of past failure before the doors will open to places of greater service. We are to get to work where we are now so that we can get to where we want to be. Amen. We'll never advance beyond the place where we are now by complaining and murmuring and being down and out and having the pooch mouth about the lot that God has given to us. But we must put our hand to the plow and be faithful to where God has called us tonight before those doors of advancement will ever open for us tonight. Amen. Some will never advance because they want to be served rather than served tonight. Amen. But here these individuals were. They built the wall without murmuring, without complaining, without looking back. And can I say that they repaired these walls over against their house. I want to preach to you tonight just about the home. Amen. Concerning our homes, having the right foundation and building upon that foundation tonight. As we examine our homes, they built the wall over against their house. I want us to examine our homes in light of the text. Now, don't die on me tonight. Amen. Brother Gilreath, it's, you know, you've been a pastor. You preach on prayer and everybody cuts you off. You preach on the home and everybody cuts you off. But do not cut me off tonight. Amen. I want to be help to you and try to be a blessing to you tonight. Amen. As we examine our homes in light of the text and we see the failures that we have, the denials that we have, the disappointments that we may have, may we look at those failures and may we examine those failures and repair where we have failed so that we may advance onward for the honor and the glory of God. See, when it comes to our home tonight, we must have the right foundation, but we must build upon that foundation tonight. You and I can be believers tonight, and we can find ourselves in the house of God every time the doors are open, and we can have the right belief system. But I believe tonight that there are some areas where we are failing tonight. Amen. Maybe for just a few moments I'll preach to myself, and maybe you can get some help out of it tonight. Amen. Number one, I want you to consider, as we are rebuilding and we are examining our homes, number one, I think the first thing that needs to be rebuilt is, number one, the wall of prayer tonight. Amen. The wall of prayer within our homes. Look with me there again in verse number 10. One of our text verse tonight, the Bible said, "And next unto them repaired Jediah, the son of Haramath, even over against his house." Now that name Jediah, you say, where are you getting prayer out of this tonight? That name Jediah means this. It means invoker of God. It means invoker of God. Now Jediah tonight was a man who knew how to pray. Jediah was a man who knew how to get a hold of God. His life was founded upon prayer tonight, and it is the wall of prayer that so often gets broken down in our life. And I want to ask you something tonight. I wouldn't try to get you to raise your hand, but in your heart of hearts tonight, I want you to think about your prayer life. And I want to ask you this question tonight. Does your prayer life lie in ruin? Is your prayer life in shambles tonight? And prayer sets the tone for our life. Prayer sets the tone for our home tonight. I understand that many of you get up early in the morning and you head off to work, and you wouldn't want to scramble your children out of bed and get your wife up out of bed at 4:30 in the morning and say, "Hey, we're going to have prayer." They probably wouldn't be in a good mood. Amen. But the principle here tonight is putting that into practice. Amen. Setting the atmosphere in your home. I like what the Bible said. Amen. Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica. He said this. He said that we are to pray without ceasing tonight. Amen. What does that mean tonight? Does that mean that we're to pray while we're going down the road? That'd be awful dangerous. Amen. But does that mean that you're never supposed to sleep and to find any rest, but you're to be praying 24/7 all of the time, praying so that you can't eat, praying that you can't rest, praying that you can't spend any time with your family, praying that you can't go to work? Listen, God knows and understands. He knoweth our frame, and He knows the requirements that this life has, and He knows the cares and the burdens of life. And I believe with all of my heart that doesn't necessarily mean the activity of prayer 24/7, but that is a spirit and a heart of prayer that the believer is to have tonight. Amen. I'm glad you can pray while you're going down the road. You don't have to have your eyes closed. You don't have to kneel down in the floorboard, but I'm glad that you can talk to God tonight. Amen. I'm glad that you can talk to God throughout the activities of the day, washing the dishes, folding the clothes, while you're there at work, on your break time, or on your lunch break. You can have an inward conversation with God. And the fact is tonight is, if you and I will keep a spirit of prayer, we will be more apt to enter into the closet and to shut the door. We will be more apt to prioritize prayer in our life. Oh, the wall of prayer is broken down in our life, and we can identify it tonight between harsh words, between spouses and parents and children. We can identify it tonight through our bad attitude. We can identify it tonight through our short fuse and the simple things in life that cause us to blow our gas and to lose our temper and even harm our testimonies at times. Amen. Oh God, may we see the ruin and the reproach that is our prayer life tonight and rebuild the wall. We have the right foundation tonight. We have the right belief system. We're in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. Thank God we are of the body of Christ and we have the right foundation. But what are you building upon tonight? Amen. How is the atmosphere in your home? How is your attitude towards those under your roof tonight? What are your thoughts towards them? Are they thoughts of contempt? Are they thoughts of anger? Are they thoughts of annoyance tonight? And listen, when we begin to look around at everybody else and we begin to point the finger and we begin to try to identify the problem with everyone else around us, understand something, sir, understand something, ma'am, that when that condition arises in our life, they are not the problem, you are. If you have a problem with everybody else around you, you need to check your spirit tonight. Amen. There's not that many people tonight that get on your nerves. Amen. Have you ever gotten to the place where you cannot even stand yourself tonight? We need to check our attitudes. Check our motivation tonight. Check our spirit. The wall of prayer is broken down not only in our churches. The wall of prayer is broken down in our lives. Jesus emphasized the need for prayer tonight. And it was evident when his disciples came to him. And they didn't say, Lord, teach us to be great expositors of the word. They didn't come and say, Lord, help us to build a church. Help us to have a soul winning conference. Help us to do this, a church workers meeting. And we're certainly not against that tonight. But the one primary request that they had is when they came to the Lord Jesus Christ, is they said, Lord, teach us to pray. I'm reminded of what Brother Hanley Milby said. He said that he felt like God had put it upon his heart to write a book on prayer. And so he thought about it, and he was thinking about that thing, and finally he sat down one day, and all he could get out was just two words. He took out a piece of paper, blank sheet of paper, and he wrote two words concerning prayer. And the two words that he could write down were, do it. Amen. Do it. You say, how can I become a great person of prayer? By doing it tonight. Amen. By praying. There is no formula. There are no pieces to put together. But kneel before your Savior and pour out your heart to Him and learn what it is to commune with God tonight. Amen. Rebuild the wall of prayer in your life. I want you to look at verse number 23 tonight, not only concerning the wall of prayer, but I want you to look there in verse number 23 concerning the wall of protection. Look in verse number 23. The Bible said, after him repaired Benjamin and Hashub over against their house. Now the word Hashub means association tonight, but of course that name Benjamin, great name in the Word of God. That name Benjamin means son of my right hand. And if you remember the blessing that was placed upon Benjamin in Deuteronomy chapter number 33 and verse number 12, the Bible said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell safely in him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders tonight. Amen. What a blessing that is. He said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell safely in him. You understand tonight that that is protection that all the insurance policies in the world put together cannot provide tonight. Amen. I'm talking about the place of safety, the place of protection in the Lord. And I'm glad tonight that God looks out for those that seek after Him and that have put their trust in Him tonight. Amen. Talking about prayer a moment ago. Him that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And why do we serve the Lord? Why do we seek His glory in our life? Well, it's obviously to magnify Him. But I'm glad that one of the blessings of doing that tonight is that God looks out for His own tonight. Amen. I want to ask you a question tonight. Is the blessing of protection upon your home? You say, what do you mean by that? Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Are you walking in obedience unto the Lord? Are you backslid tonight? You say, well, preacher, I'm in church tonight. Don't give me that. Because sitting on a church pew and sitting in Bible college or sitting in Sunday school is one of the easiest places you can backslide tonight, because you put it on cruise control and your mind and your heart is somewhere else. I don't know if it's on entertainment. I don't know if it's on the job. I don't know if it's on something, that some prized possession or some toy you've got or some some cumbering care that's weighing you down tonight. Don't let the cares of life and the things of this life rob you of your walk with God tonight. Amen. Walking with God provides protection for those that will serve the Lord. How is your tithing tonight? How is your prayer life? How is your attendance tonight? I understand you're here, and I'm not trying to preach to the choir, but you can even have all of those things in the proper place that they need to be, but yet you've gotten cold and indifferent in your heart. You've set it on cruise control. And listen, I wouldn't try to single anybody out, and I wouldn't try to point the finger at anybody else but myself tonight, but there have been times in my life where I've been convicted and I've been bothered because I've thought about past years of service and what I was doing for the Lord, and I realize how short I have fallen in my life tonight. Amen. Vance Havner said this. He said, if there was ever a time in your life when you were closer to the Lord than you are now, you're backslid. So many times we blame circumstances and situations. Well, you know, I've got to work and I've got to provide for my family. You understand, you don't put Christ first and you don't put God first, you're going to be working and working and working. And it's going to be like in the book of Haggai, where you've got a bag where you're just stuffing money into it, and it's like it's got a hole in the bottom and you can't make ends meet and you don't know where it's going tonight. But isn't it funny how you can get right with God and not have two dimes to rub together and be as poor as Job's turkey, but be happy and content and satisfied in serving the Lord tonight. Amen. Life is the what is the verse? Life is not found in the abundance of things tonight. Amen. The wall of protection tonight. Oh, how we need God's blessing upon our life. Oh, how we need the protection of the Lord over our family tonight. We've got to hasten. Number three, look with me in verse number 29. The Bible said, and them, after them repaired Zadok, the house of Immer, over against his house. Now the name Zadok, that's another familiar name in the Word of God. That name means integrity. It carries the idea of righteousness. Or here is another definition of it, the word purity tonight. Amen. And I think the wall of purity has been broken down in our lives tonight. Amen. The broken wall of purity can ruin not only your personal testimony, but it puts a mark on the testimony of the entire church. Listen, I wouldn't try to call any names tonight, but we can think about men of God who had great ministries tonight, and they let their guard down. Maybe their eye caught some woman's eye, or they let their guard down in some other way, and the devil reeled them in. And they took the bait tonight, and now they're not even preaching, much less going to church. And the devil has destroyed their life, and they've destroyed their testimony tonight, and they've gotten a reproach upon their life that'll never be wiped away, all because they let their guard down and they let their purity go tonight. Amen. You ought to be careful about who you text tonight of the opposite sex. You ought to be careful about who you're alone with tonight. Amen. There's a good old-fashioned word that we need to reinstitute with our young people, and it's the word chaperone tonight. Amen. You say, I'm too hip and I'm too cool for that. Listen, I'm telling you, you're going to wake up one day and you'll hate your life, and you'll not realize how you got in the situation you're in 1, 2, and 3 marriages later, and not realizing that you corrupted your life and you allowed the wall of purity to be slowly broken down in your life, and the devil has made a fool of you. And when sin was conceived, it brought forth death when it was finished with you tonight. Amen. Wall of purity being broken down. Better be careful about them reels you're watching on YouTube and TikTok tonight. Amen. You better be careful about scrolling through your phone in the dark hours of the night when mom and daddy are not there. Amen. Ain't having no business having that phone by yourself in the first place. It's closing the door. Amen. That ought not to be happening. You say, well, your kids are little. Amen. Don't mind me. I think I'm doing just fine tonight. Amen. We ought to reestablish the wall of purity in our life tonight. Amen. Well, they're just a friend at work. You're foolish, sir. Well, he gives me those compliments that my husband never would. Number one, that's his fault. Amen. You ought to compliment your wife. You ought to have the same adoration and love for her that you had for her when you walked down the aisle. Amen. Wall of purity being broken down in our lives. Broken testimonies tonight. Amen. Lastly, and we'll finish. Look with me in verse number 30. The Bible said, "And after him repaired Hananiah, the son of Shemaliah, and Hanan, the sixth son of Zalph, another piece. After him repaired Meshulam." Now watch this. "The son of Berechiah over against his chamber." Over against his chamber. The first three texts that we looked at mentioned over against the house. But here this man is. It seems that maybe he doesn't have a wife. Maybe doesn't have any children. Doesn't have anybody living with him. The Bible just mentioned his chamber. Just a little room right there on the wall of Jerusalem tonight. Amen. And as we look at this individual and we look at this man, I want to consider the wall of passion tonight being broken down in our life. Our passion for serving the Lord. No, this man didn't have a lot to his name. No, this man maybe didn't have a wife. No, this man didn't have children. He didn't have some great group that lived with him, but it was just him and God, just him and his devoted service to the Lord in that little chamber that was built there upon the there upon the wall of Jerusalem tonight. Amen. And I'm glad that this man did not let his modest means hinder him from being involved in the work of God. And listen, you may be here tonight and you're a young person. You say, "I'm not married yet and I don't have any children tonight and I don't really have a whole lot going for me in life and I'm insignificant and I'm unimportant." And you may be a young preacher here tonight and you say, "When is it going to be my time to serve the Lord? When is it going to be my time? When is God going to let me break out into the ministry and use me like other men that I've seen and those men of God that I look up to?" Hey, can I remind you tonight, just be faithful. Amen. Just keep plugging along tonight. Amen. God sees your work of service. God sees your dedication. God sees the dreams that you have in your heart. God sees the passion buried deep inside. And you ought to not let those that would try to discourage you or those that may overlook you. I'm glad that there is a God in heaven who keeps a record book tonight. And thank God, He will be faithful to you as you have been faithful to Him. Just keep your passion up for serving the Lord tonight. Amen. I'm reminded in the Song of Solomon, chapter number 5 tonight. The Shulamite girl is there in her bedchamber and they have already been wed. They've already been married. And the Bible says that Solomon is out laboring in the night and his head is filled with dew and his locks are filled with the drops of the night. He's been out laboring and working in the night and he comes and he knocks on the door and he puts his hand in by the hole of the door and she's laying there in the bed and she hesitates. And the Bible says that he leaves and she's laying in there and she realizes what she has done. She realizes the missed opportunity that she had. Oh, but thank God that there is a love inside her heart and there is a passion for her husband and there is a passion for her beloved. And even though the fire may have dwindled down, there are strong embers burning and that passion begins to flow again and she goes out to seek him tonight. Amen. It may be tonight that your passion is not what it once was. Maybe the fire has grown dim in your heart, in your life. Maybe your prayer life is not what it ought to be. Maybe your level of service is lacking tonight. Maybe at one time you were closer to the Lord and you miss that and you have a longing for that. And I'm glad tonight to report to you that the fire has not gone out. Amen. Your love may wax hot and it may wax cold, but thank God there is a bridegroom who still thinks as much as you as the day he found you. That shepherd shepherd who sought you out is now that King of glory, and the love still burns, and the passion is still there, and you can return, and things can be like they were before. Would you rebuild the wall of passion tonight? Listen, God's not moved. God's not changed tonight. His love, thank God Jeremiah told us tonight that he have loved them with an everlasting love tonight. Amen. And it's all because of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're not where you need to be tonight.